morning. We'd like to get started here in the worship hour. So nice to see you here this Sabbath morning. So I want to wish you a warm welcome on a beautiful Sabbath day. Welcome back to the house of God. So good to see you here in the house of the Lord. And this will encourage you to be worshiping again together. What a wonderful blessing. I want to thank you for observing social guidelines that have been set up for us at this time. We want to be good stewards of that which has been granted to us. And let's bow our heads now as we begin with prayer. We do thank you, Father, for the privilege of being in your house for the end of the day. It's almost unspeakable the things that you bless us with. You guide us and guard us. To be here among us as we continue to do the worship hour. May all that is said and done be according to your will and to your honor and glory. Well, I think you agree this morning that we are experiencing the privilege of living both in grand and awful times. Would you agree? There are so many challenges. The number on every corner, we might say. So many spiritual considerations as we navigate through each day. Gratefully, our incomparable Jesus, for his grace and mercy and abundance, exactly when we need it. I know that you used to experience that just when we need it most. I would point out that the various challenges that we see spawn an extensive assortment of sermon topics. And I can speak for the elders when I say, I know we are just waiting on the edge of seat to deliver another sermon that God has given them. So you can look for that over the next several weeks. We're very grateful. Is that right, Elder? So what a time to be alive on planet Earth, is it not? Think that my dear departed relative spoke out 50 to 60 years ago are suddenly appearing in the evening news. How encouraging it is to know that we are nearing the promised land. I don't know if you agree on that. But we are not there yet. There are still a few obstacles to overcome before we take leave of this world. Still an enemy to contend with. As we have seen in the past few weeks in particular, it's putting up a bit of a front. It's really quite a punch. It appears that there are no holds barred if we attempt to take down anyone that we possibly can. And most explicitly this morning, please understand that he intends to take great power. Spirit of this morning is the Spirit of the Father. And the great contentment is the Spirit of the Father. And I want to thank you for bringing it up. Psalm 21, 1 to 3, my reading from the New Living Translation. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I love and trust in Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the fatal plague. Verse 3, the name says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the life of pestilence. Ever wonder who or what? Is? I look it up. It's an unfamiliar term to you. Among the several other definitions, this word fowler means sportsman. This might be a little gamesmanship here and there. Can you picture Satan as a sportsman? I think you can. Have you ever fallen into one of his snares? I sure have. This sermon is a product of one of those times. Sure, we'll see you in a few minutes. recently began to apply a variety of words to describe what we see going on around us these days. What is happening? Who is liable to the extent of the fight that we are witnessing? What are unsuspecting people falling for? Who's liable? A few favored descriptions have been distortion, distraction, and deception. These three are excessively prevalent at this time. Our enemy is so subtle, so underhanded, and so cunning. We may have underestimated the extent of his influence in this world. His strategies, his toys, and tactics are without match. We won. Thank you, David. It's peculiarity. The third group, we have a negative overtone that begins with the letter D. Can you notice that? Many terms which describe the work and movements of the enemy, which is meant to support distraction and deception. Here's a few others. Devious, dark, divisive, deleterious, discord, dishonor, disrespectful, deceit, disaster, delusion, drama, debasement, disobedience, demagoguery, destitute, oppression, defilement, discouragement, dishonesty, debauchery, devilish, demoniac, disenfranchised, divisive, demonstrations, destruction, and death. Rather amazing, wouldn't you say? Of course, there are many other positive words that begin with the letter D as well. Name, discernment, and devotion must be at the top of the list. No question of any results from the last several. But I hope that we understand this morning we must be consistently on the lookout as we fall prey to the devices of the evil one. We are the whole spectrum of crowds that must be on the alert to avoid. Sorry to say that we all have an experience or two. Taught us to be on guard against this sinister scheme. After all, we are living in a time when these powers may entrap any of us at any time and from any direction or angle. These powers are nothing to trick us or to trap us in this device. Paul comments on our experience with this when he said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant. Paul informs us in Ephesians 4, verse 13 and 14, that as God's church becomes more unified and mature in Christ, that we will no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by those of human craftiness, denied and avoided. For us in his distinctive language, the magnitude of our challenge. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be careful. Watch out. Be a talk to the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Keep a firm stand against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters around the world are going through the same kind of suffering. Babylonian environment and a wedding goal. Seems to be simply overlooked, and both Adams will render complete destruction to himself and his family. In chapter 7, we read that summary of Samaria, 16:5. Likewise, Balaam, verses 22-25, who is so human to attempt to hide the true nature of sin by making excuses for it. Let's be honest with ourselves and not pretend to be ignorant of sin's corruption. But I suspect that you are well aware that Satan attacks us earlier in the very beginning. Satan traps even faithful early on in the moment of unbelief, tricking the fallen who married Hagar in an attempt to claim his seed instead of being promised to him. Satan successfully snared the most patient and the most humble man in the world. Moses fell, but in a moment, through an explosion of irritability and impatience, he never was quiet. Peter promised to defend Jesus to the very end, and he fell flat on his face in an act of cowardice. Solomon fell in a shocking display of God's will, and he was snared by one of the most precious gifts that was ever given to mankind. As Satan's devices are aggressively numerous, as one of the people said, he said, frequently he will make use of people as instruments in his choice. In fact, it is the mark of a practical genius to choose the right administrator to deliver his merchandise to others. Think of the conversation between Jesus and Peter, where Satan used Peter as an agent to prove to Jesus reverence Jesus as king. Peter was also used to his advantage in environment against the temple of God in the wilderness, where he was not supported. He even used one prophet of God to entrap another man of God. You can read about it in 1 Kings 13. Satan was a master at using psychological warfare to ensure humanity. Just look at the overconfident and careless Children of Israel as they marched on the small settlement of the Canaanites after they got a victory in Jericho in 1 Kings 7. Now, who can forget the tragic experience of slavery in Joseph's time? He was also known to encourage and promote procrastination. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This seems to happen most when a firm decision for God is necessary. Consider what convicted Stephen, who remarked to Paul, "Go away with this now, it is more convenient, better for you." Let's spend the next few minutes to review of our defenses against Satan's devices. First, we must appreciate the privilege it is to abide in the promise. And we'll tell you what it is for that. When we think, say, and do for him, we will remember that he is our Creator God. He has given his life so that we may choose eternal life to be with him. Where are we going to live? Do we know that everything he does is for the good of us? As a Christian, he doesn't live for our good. Next, let us take refuge every day to the Word of God and resist the devil. If we do so, the Bible says, he will flee from you. And that's exactly what Jesus did. So, let's follow his example. This is about Matthew 4 and verse 30. Peter plans to stay engaged after we work on the Lord as the Holy Spirit prompted him. God's specific through the eyesight to discernment that we know the seeds need to see clearly what to do. As we ask, we will be blessed with a tremendous advantage to maneuver around the snares of the evil one. Think of Nehemiah's model when someone attempted to distract him, he quit them a great work, but I cannot do that. After the work ceased, for I am traveling to see you, and what is here. The next point is to recognize that idleness and eagerness is another one of the smallest things to catch us off guard. Someone in the Bible is a good example of this as well. Remember King David? And one day, he wanted to stay in bed until evening. That was just the reality of his thoughts. He must acknowledge that idle hands are better for God than the work of his soul. Finally, let us remember prayerful lifestyles. This discipline would have been a great benefit for the sons of David, prayer in the darkest hours. As they've been praying, the story of their experience might have turned out a little bit different for them. Reference Matthew 26. So this morning, it's with grateful hearts that we recount that Jesus has already defeated Satan. It happened first in heaven, and it has happened here on earth. And it has happened every single time that it's to meet. The great war, the big one, so I resist the strength of Jesus and rest in those invaluable, precious promises that number the glory of the Lord. If you promise to be the weakest of God's children, to put the devil to flight in the most challenging of times, let me tell you over experience how much we feel over there. Can I pray for music? I found an interesting and harmonious piece of music on YouTube that I thought was pretty cool. She shared with me, and it really was rather amazing. One of these people looking for something supportive and encouraging. Such was the case when this large group of musicians came together online to sing and to play a beautiful song. I guess they would call that a virtual orchestra. And then their song was, "We will never walk away." So that's supporting and encouraging, isn't it? The way they did this was really remarkable. There were a total of 300 musicians singing or playing this song, intending to support and encourage others during this time of difficulty. We're all in this together, isn't it? And from the beginning to the end of this song, all the musicians featured are on the screen as they perform. That's the item. So this is this song. And before long, I was humming or singing it as it went about my throat. So I began to recall that I heard this song somewhere before. I was in 2019. Did you read the song? Do you remember it? When you walk through a storm, raise your head up high. Don't be afraid of the dark. I thought about it. I wondered if this orchestra was reaching to relay a spiritual message of some sort, though the name of God was never referenced. Coming along and thinking it through, I began to be more inquisitive about the details of this song. Who wrote it, and under what circumstances? Who first sang it, and when? Was it some Christian artist trying to be encouraging and supportive of people with a veiled reference to God's presence, as we find in the end? Searching Wikipedia, this is what I found. Some of you might have asked me this already. You will never walk alone. It is a show tune from the 1945 Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, Carousel. In the second act of the musical, Nettie Fowler, the cousin of the character Julie Gordon, sings this song to comfort and encourage Julie when her husband, Billy Bigelow, the male lead, falls on his knife and dies after a failed robbery attempt. The song is then repeated in the final scene to encourage a graduating class of which Louise, Billy and Julie's daughter, is a member. The now invisible Billy, who is going to grant him a chance to return to Earth for one day in her Article goes on to say this song is sung at soccer clubs around the world where it is performed by a mass choir of supporters on a mass stage. So, what is the 55 or 53 in this song? This tradition developed after the chart success of the 1963 single was released by the local local choir group, Cherry, on the 21st. At present, in some areas of the UK and Europe, and the anthem of support for medical staff, first responders, and those in quarantine during the COVID-19 epidemic. Victory in Jesus. When the will of God is in the world, we will. That's what we should be coming and seeing, isn't it? I believe that you understand this morning that our only hope of deliverance is here in this course of our life. Run to Jesus. Without him, we are powerless. And with him, we can claim victory over his power. Remember when we have victory in Jesus, we can be confident during this chaos. A little while, singing or humming our favorite song. The sun shall be warmer. And the morning breaks each summer. And the saints of earth are gathered to go around the other shore, and the world is called the examples that are in the Bible. Thank you for each person who today is taking the time to come to church.